Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to another episode, and I'm joined today by the charismatic Mr. Huey. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. That's a nice title, thank you.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, like we spoke about off the recording, you know, I've been banging the drum for you a little bit on Twitter, so I don't just throw around my compliments loosely, so for me to say that, you've definitely made an impression.
Thank you.
Yeah. I spoke this past episode. It was unfortunate that you and I are chatting this soon because I would have liked to, you know, see you progress in the game and how things would have, you know, shook out
yeah.
for you if you stayed around longer. You know, now that the episode's come out, you've gotten the chance to digest it a little bit, see some of the stuff that's been said. How are you feeling kind of emotionally now that the whole thing's kind of come to an end for you?
Right. So how I kind of feel is, like, now that I'm in, like, the real world and you're living your real life and all, like, it doesn't obviously bother me what's actually gone on, because I feel like that would be a strange way to live, like, to be, like, unless maybe it was someone I was proper good friends with, or I'd done maybe 7 seasons of the show and then I felt more personal about it, I don't know. But, like, just seeing little clips, for example, like Asaf saying I was like a mosquito in his ear during that challenge, the water challenge where we had to get the puzzle pieces, and Callum speaking about me in kind of a negative light and stuff like that, it is a bit surprising, because I always got along with them guys, and I know that we have to do interviews, and everyone's got opinions and all of that, but they were just the most stupidest of comments, because, you know, as I've said in other interviews and podcasts, I find it so weird that I was on the 4th challenge, 5th if you include the launch night, like, challenge thing we had to do, and they're complaining about me not stepping up to the mark enough or whatever. And now that I'm trying to, like, have an opinion, or, like, when we're in strategy conversation, like, I'm trying to put myself forward as a swimmer and whatever, and they're having an issue with that. So it's like, which one do you want me to do? Do you want me to sit in the corner? Do you want to keep saying that I'm, like, I'm not performing well enough or helping the group enough? I don't know. Like, which one is it that you want? Or is it just that you want me to be a scapegoat? Is it, like, you just want me to kind of not show any kind of strength or capability at all? I don't know. But I'm definitely not losing any sleep over it. But when I'm doing podcasts and conversations, or if I go to reunion and ask my feelings, I'm going to speak it, you know what I mean? That's what I think, looking back and watching it.
Yeah, I noticed that too, when it comes to sort of everybody trying to put their heads together and kind of figure out, like, oh, who we want to send in and whatnot. It kind of does feel like, to a large degree, you have been sort of on the route of being scapegoated a lot of the time. And when I'm talking about this on screen, when trying to decipher, like, oh, this is why somebody's going in, or if, like, somebody messes up, like, I don't notice that with you any different than anybody else. So when I'm trying to pinpoint here why that is, let me ask you then, like, why do you feel like you're scapegoated?
Right, so for one, it works for people in the house just to have a scapegoat. And unfortunately, the challengers nowadays, they vote people in for having an opinion, they vote people in if they make a simple mistake, which anybody can do. The only reason for that is because people haven't got their own confidence to be themselves and speak their own mind. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to follow the herd instead of being yourself. And people play such safe games that they just do what everybody else is doing. So it's great for them to have somebody there that, you know, let's just throw a name into the mix and let's see what everybody grab onto that. And people do, because they're desperate to stay out of elimination. I personally, I have to just throw this in I'll continue that opinion in a second to your question, but to throw this in there with it, I personally think that production should find people, or should have something in place that people aren't just slipping under the radar, or, you know, never on camera, never shown. Like, we're there, we're being paid to make a TV show, and you have people sitting in their bedrooms or on the treadmill 24/7 because they don't want to be seen in any sort of controversial light because of the elimination vote. And I don't get, like, why those types of people are recast on the show. I really don't get it at all. But to go back to answering your question, I think me and Big T was really the scapegoats of the guys and the girls. And I think the reason for that is, first of all, as I said, people want someone just to say. Secondly, because people are voting in people who have opinions or are outspoken or whatever, me and Big T are always the two that will then go into deliberation, our names come up, we will start talking. So again, it's quite easy to vote people like us in when we're like, where we won't just sit in the corner and listen to what you have to tell us. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of people, as I said, just follow suit. There is this opinion of me being weaker or maybe not being into sports as much as others. I accept that opinion completely. I don't accept that I'm weaker, but I definitely accept I'm not a sports person. And that's fine. That's just not me. The show isn't just about that. It's about a group of people living together. It's about mentality. It's about strategy. It's about puzzles. It's about people's stories. It's about all of those things. And I feel like I personally bring a lot to the table, even when it just comes to the morale in the house. I'm somebody that is always up for a good time. I speak a lot about my personal life on camera. I'm one of the only people you've actually seen in the eps like shown so far that was shown speaking about, you know, home and like personal stuff, deliberations. I spoke a lot more than what was actually shown, if I'm honest, but I still have been shown a lot. And to me, that's a job well done. It's a TV show. I know it's a competition, but like, it's a TV show, and if you're never on TV, it kind of just doesn't make any sense. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, I know.
Go exactly. Join the local track and field team if you just want to compete.
that's what I'm saying, and it's actually a reason why when I've been tweeting lately, I've been gravitating towards cast members such as yourself and like Melissa, is because you two, you just get it from the standpoint of like, you guys are making a television show. Like, sure, there's a competition aspect to it, but this is being produced like onto television.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't just kind of like sit around and soak up oxygen and not like talk on camera. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. I definitely enjoy that you bring that aspect to the show. And, you know, when you were talking about sort of, you know, home life and what that looked like, it kind of gave me like, you know, a little bit of nostalgia of like the, you know, original days of the show when back in the day it was a lot more like dialogue and a lot more personable than it is like competition. So I want to just kind of ask you, Huey, you know, I brought up at the top of the intro as well about you being charismatic. Was young Huey always like, you know, outgoing and bubbly growing up, or what was he like?
Right. So always on the inside, I wanted to be this person, right? I always felt so fascinated, and I loved cameras and TV, and I would watch like the MTV VMA Awards, and I would be so excited watching these things. And I went to Almeria, which is a place in southeast Spain. And I went there on holidays, like a lot of the British and Irish, we always go to Spain on holidays. And this was like a resort place that a lot of people would come to. And there they had film sets. That, I don't know if you've heard of him. Do you know the films The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly?
Yeah.
It's Clint Eastwood, the cowboy movie. So they were filmed there. This is the actual set where this was filmed. Oh, and it was now a tourist attraction. And I have a photograph of me as like a little boy when I was about five. Yeah, it was 1999, so I was like five. And I can still remember having that photograph taken at that film set. And like, I was so excited about, like, that we're in this place where a movie was made. I was having my photo taken. I got to wear, like, I got to pick out an outfit, a cowboy outfit I'm wearing, and guns, like, fake guns from the movie and stuff. So I always was excited by cameras and stuff like that. I've very much always been, like, a performer, I suppose. Like, even during this season of The Challenge, right before we started filming, the cast, you're come together and production has like to have a talk with us all. We have to do our fittings for our uniforms or whatever. And even then, like, I would walk into the room and I would just like be making jokes with everyone. I would be at the top of the room having fun with producers. Like, this is the type of person I am. I would joke with teachers in the classroom. I was always like that. But there was a lot of times when I would have been perceived as introverted as well, because, like, I mean, when I was younger, because I was bullied really bad for my sexuality, and I came from a very cultured, traditional, like, religious family and background and area. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of homophobic abuse and horrible things. Like, I'm talking about when I was like 6-7 years old. So that kind of beats you down to the stage where as you get older, you then start to almost you either rebel maybe and do a lot of bad behavior, or you go the opposite way and you just kind of sit in your room and don't come out a lot. So I was kind of like that. And then I kind of did do the rebel thing where I was fighting with people and whatever, like when I was maybe like 13, 14, which isn't good, but I was angry. I liked boys and I didn't know how to tell anyone. So those things made me introverted and find it hard to make friends and all of that. And it did take me till kind of into my 20s to find my feet a lot. But so like this is why from like 2021, I really didn't care about what other people think. And I just don't have that brain where I get upset about people thinking bad of me, for example. Do you know what I mean? Once it's about something that's true. Now, if you're lying about me, or you're wearing a TV show and you're saying something about me or whatever it is, like, I've got opinions and feelings also.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, it would never affect, like, if, for example, people having a negative opinion of me on the challenge or not thinking I'm performing good, that wouldn't make me feel insecure that I wouldn't come back on another season.
Right.
Like, fuck you, I'm going to come back. And if you don't like me still, like, that's your problem. Like, you know what I mean? But I'll have an opinion if you say it to my face, obviously, but it doesn't affect my life anymore, like how it would when I was younger.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned about, you know, when you were 6 and 7 and being bullied growing up. Did you know from that young age that you were gay?
I don't think I knew what gay meant, like what gay was, like what a word like was, because I definitely wouldn't have heard it like in my family home. I remember being, what age would I have been? I was probably like 7, 8 at this time I'm talking about. And my little sister, my auntie used to live with us, and she's a few years older than me. Mm-hmm. And this was during, do you remember when Christina Aguilera went through like her, that era of, when she had a song Dirty and whatever?
Yep.
And all these teenage girls loved her, and she had her ass hanging out and whatever. It's kind of like me now. Just like me today. Yeah. I remember my little sister used to dance to one of those songs, right? There's a reason why I'm saying this. And she was like 1, 2 years old. She used to copy my auntie, and then I remember Christina Aguilera brought out the song Beautiful afterwards, and in that video they have transgender people and gay people and all of this in the video. And I remember when my mom and dad said, oh, that's so and so that Miriam, my little sister, likes, and they obviously hadn't heard the song or watched the video, they just left it on for that reason, which is why I brought that up. And I remember this video being on, and I remember my dad turning around and turning it off and saying, that should not be allowed on TV. Like those guys kissing each other and stuff. Like how disgusting it was and all of that. And I remember that did evoke a certain kind of feeling in me. I remember being there and always feeling kind of different and not really knowing what that meant. But when I would see something like that, like two guys kissing, it would make me feel a certain way. But I couldn't explain why I felt that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I look back now, I think maybe I was identifying with certain things, and the word gay felt so dangerous to me to hear anyone say it. It would make me feel so uncomfortable. And like, it was a really big insult if somebody said that to somebody, like within my family or friends, even if they said it as a joke or me, or even if they meant it as an insult, it was like taken as a, almost like being called like a pedophile or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was seen really bad. So I definitely felt a certain way, and I definitely felt like I felt different to others, and I knew like there were certain interests I had that people didn't think maybe I should have for being a boy and stuff like that. But I just didn't grow up with any sort of representation to look at or anything that I could have explored myself. Do you know what I mean? But when I look back now, I definitely felt a certain way, but I just didn't know how to explain it or what that meant.
So then when you finally did come out, how did that process go down between you and your dad?
Right, so me and my dad hadn't talked in 2 years, but I still lived at home, and I was like, that was so hard to navigate, obviously.
Yeah.
And we had such a bad relationship at that time, and I was drunk on a New Year's Eve in Dublin, and there was a lot of family around, and my cousin seen me kiss this guy in a pub. She walked out to the smoking area the wrong way. Me and this guy had gone through these other doors that like their staff would bring in their barrels, you know, for their drinking. And we walked out there and we were kissing each other. And then my cousin walked out through that door instead of the other one to go smoking. And she seen this and she didn't care. We're the same age and always been close. And we had a conversation. And then I then told a couple of other people, and before I knew it, a few more people was finding out, and the younger people in my life didn't care at all. A lot of people was worried about how my dad and my mom and all that would react. And then I applied for Big Brother, and I focused everything on that. And I said, look, if I go on Big Brother and I really be myself and all of those things, like, regardless of how my dad or my mom then takes it, that's up to them. And I got a stubbornness in my head that I still have now, and I'm really glad for it. It made me stronger, because I thought to myself, look, if my parents don't love me for who I am, I'm not living fake anymore. I'm not doing this. This is not fair on me. I was 21, almost 22. I'm like, my life is going on now. Do you know, I'm not like 14 anymore. I can't, how many more years am I going to sit around doing this waste of my youth? And it's not fair on me. So I then went on Big Brother, had very slight conversations with family, other family and friends. To this day, I've never had a conversation with my parents about it. My dad took it like I'd been murdered, like he just found out I'd killed a child or something, and I just went to prison all of a sudden. Like, it was so shocking to him. And then he started coming around to it as I was still in Big Brother. Thank God I stayed in there for the length of time I did, because it gave him time to come around to that. And when I left, we had a conversation, which we hadn't had in 2 years. Not really about my sexuality. It was kind of more like in general. And he took it like we didn't need to talk about it. You know what I mean? He just gave me a hug, and that was fine. And thank God everything was okay since then. And I'm very lucky for that, because it doesn't happen. As much as it shouldn't make me lucky, because that should be normal. But I know that there's a lot of people where I come from, and a lot of, you know, young people in the world that doesn't have, or any age people, there's older people who don't have support. You know, you see stories about people in countries across the world of men being murdered, being executed, and all of this for their sexuality. And it's terrible. Do you know what I mean? So I feel very thankful that I live in a country where it's legal to be myself.
So they found out, your parents then, like, when basically the world found out. Right.
I know, and this is what I mean, and I said this even in the challenge house. I said, it shows you how dramatic my life always is. Everything is drama. That, like, even coming out, like, I've done it on it. Everything I've done in my life is just so dramatic. Like, why couldn't I just sit down and just say to my mom and dad, look, I like boys, I'm sorry if you don't like them. But I was scared, to be honest. I didn't know how to say those words.
Listen, in some way, maybe it's not the most ideal route for you personally, but in some way, some kid that's also gay is going to watch that, and maybe they're able to identify with that, because they too can't have those conversations or don't feel comfortable enough to have those conversations with their parents.
Yeah.
So for them to see you do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice.
So
that's, I couldn't ask for anything more than that chance to do that. You know, to say the words, I am gay, to somebody who isn't out, is like, you don't understand how that, like, how hard it is just to say them words, which is insane when you think about it, isn't it? Like, it is crazy that, like, why does it matter who I go to bed with when once we're both adults? Yeah. Really, like, what has that got to do with anyone else? Like, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But just to say that is like the most hardest thing ever. And it's so, so difficult to say that. So obviously I completely understand how that feels. Or, for example, to be asked, are you gay when you're not out? Is like, it's, to me, it was like being asked the worst thing ever. So it's this big, huge relief when you tell everyone. And the weirdest thing ever was standing and talking to my mom and everything was fine. Like, it was like I was living in an alternate world in my head. It was like I had geared up for such a bad reaction that I packed everything I owned when I was packing my Big Brother suitcase, and I gave all my other stuff that I wasn't taking into Big Brother to my cousin to hold for me, because I thought, like, my dad might burn all my stuff or get rid of my things. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was good. It was okay. And then I brought a boyfriend home like 2-3 weeks later that I met on Big Brother and had sex in my parents' house. So it was fine. With my dad in the next room, probably listening. I don't know.
Listen, if he wasn't okay then, he at that point, he would have had no choice to be. So
yeah, definitely.
No, yeah, we talk about TV now, and obviously, you know, I looked at down the list, and you've got a laundry list of shows that you've
been on.
If you would have imagined 10 years ago, would you, when you saw like where you were in, always did you always know like television was going to be something that you were going to be gearing towards doing, or did you have other aspirations?
No, I will be honest, TV was always what I wanted to do. I always loved reality television. I always knew I had a personality for it. You know, when like you know something about yourself and you feel assured by it. And it's in part because what I already said, I really don't care about what other people think, and you have to not care. You truly don't have to care. Like the abusive messages that I get are just obscene. Do you know what I mean? And also, and in order to be, is the word like transparent on TV, you have to be able to not break the fourth wall. You have to forget the camera is there. Mm-hmm. In a sense, it is a performance. Like it is a version of you. It's hard to be realistic in an unrealistic environment. And then remember, you have to keep it concise and precise, but get to the point. Like it's a way of, you're being a version of yourself. And I don't think everybody can actually do that or feel comfortable doing that. And I always felt like I would be good at that. And I like real people. I love learning about people's lives. I would love to have a podcast and interview people and all of this because I love to learn about people. I'm really intrigued by the world. Like even as I talk to you, I'm thinking, I'm in my head, like it's so crazy that you're in New York and I'm here. Like my brain is like a 5-year-old little boy. Everything makes me fascinated.
Yeah.
So I definitely wanted to do TV, and I did add up. I think I've done 17 reality shows. I think that's how many. Because I've done a lot in Ireland, and I've done Dancing with the Stars, The Challenge twice, Big Brother. I've done a few dating shows in Ireland. I've done a haunted kind of ghost hunting reality show. I've done some in the UK, and like, I've been so lucky. Like Big Brother UK, by the time I was on it, no one got TV work. Like I'm the only Big Brother UK person that's ever been on The Challenge. They've had celebrity Big Brother people, but that's UK, but that's different. They came from X on the Beach and those other shows. No one watched Big Brother when I was on it. It was on a little network that didn't get a lot of viewers at that point, because it's been on a few different networks. So the fact that I went on to get a lot of TV work, I'm really thankful for, and I'm very grateful for that. And I've had the best time ever, and I'm still not done. There's still more I want to do. I've done a couple since The Challenge. And I really want to do that, you know, the All-Star Shore show?
All-Star Shore, yep.
Yeah, that is the one that I really want to do. I feel like I probably should have been on that and not The Challenge. Or maybe X on the Beach or something, I don't know. I would like, because I love the Shore franchise so much. I grew up watching Jersey Shore, and all my friends knew I wanted to do something like that. So
listen, you're preaching the gospel. Let me tell you, like that wave of when that show Jersey Shore first came out, yeah. I'm like in that sort of area. It hit like a freight train. That was enormous at that
point. Oh, wow. That was, I read like that their viewership was like 10 million viewers in the United States. Like they were superstars. Like Snooki, I remember reading Snooki when she got that punch in the first season and it went viral on YouTube because there's so many haters that hated her. Everybody wanted to go and watch her get punched because they're freaks and they enjoyed seeing her being punched. But it helped the show become viral, and it went from maybe like 1 million, 2 million in the first season to millions and millions and millions. And I remember reading that she would get paid like $200,000 for a nightclub appearance.
Yeah. No, that's a real like, thing. Like the Challenge people, were going on those same, you know, club appearances at the time, back in like 2009, 2010. And during season one, those Jersey Shore people, before the show like really, really blew up, they were going on those same appearances with the Challenge people.
Wow. So like CT and all, Anissa and all who was back. I do feel like I would have suited that. First of all, that style of show, if I had the opportunity, but even the old school Challenge shows, even The Challenge a few years ago, going back to Vendetta's Final Reckoning, like those cast members, like Ashley, Hunter, CT when he's younger, Amanda, old Corey Wharton, like I'd have loved to be around them. Like, when I see Melissa and Berna having the argument this season, I was like, go get it, girls. Come on, do it, do it, do it, do it. Like, this is what we're here for. And then you have Kylan and all these other people that's like, I don't want anybody to stop arguing. I don't want my friends to get a target on their back. And I'm like, you're missing the point. You know what I mean? CT said something brilliant in one of his interviews for this season. And obviously, he hasn't been shown on camera yet. But obviously, they've still done a lot of filming and got his opinions. And the challenge posted it on their Instagram and stuff. And he said, looking at this cast, because I don't know if the vets got to watch maybe some clips of us or something before they came in. I don't know. I imagine they would have, because I think they have to choose who to go against or whatever. So I imagine they're going to be watching bits and pieces to know who to choose and also to know who's there. Yeah. But CT said, this new school challengers, they don't look happy at all. They don't look like they're having a good time. They look stressed out all the time. And they give him, as he said, the impression that if they don't win the season, they'll feel like it's been pointless to even being there. And they're kind of missing the whole point. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not having fun. Like, I didn't win the challenge, I did not feel like that was pointless. I earned money for being there. It was the most craziest of experiences. You meet brilliant people, and it's put me back on TV again in what 100 and something countries. So I definitely don't look at it like that at all. Do you know what I mean?
No, and like, some of your perspectives that you're saying right now is like, you really do just get it from a television perspective too, of just like through that lens. Do you feel like, because of like your past and how you've been on so many shows up to this point, that it's almost given you the mind of like a producer, so to speak, to where you're able to pinpoint what would make a good reality show?
Oh my God. I would love to be a TV producer. Corey Wharton, actually, he actually really complimented me on my first season and said that to me, and actually said, when I told him, oh, I'd love to be a producer, so you'd be really good because you know what makes good TV and stuff. It's hard to be on a show on your own with one or two, with 20 something people, but there's like three people that actually want to make good TV. Like, it's really hard to do that. I do think my past on reality television, having done so many shows, so many kinds of different shows on different networks in Ireland, in the UK, and now America, I have a wide perspective on it. But also, I almost studied reality television before Big Brother, because I bought so many reality TV stars' autobiographies they brought out, and I would always jump straight to the section of how they were cast on their show and read it 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 and watch so many interviews of all these people that were like, from, you know, somebody that's really famous like Kim Kardashian to a British X on the Beach star, like how they got cast, what the casting is like. I read books like on people that like do PR, all of this, because it's something I really wanted to do. So I do have a perspective. But then the most common sense thing is, I think, like, as a viewer, what do I want to see? And this is what I don't understand when people go on like X on the Beach and they never have conversations about why they broke up or whatever. I'm like, but that's the point of the show, isn't it? Like, otherwise it's just a show with a group of people. The whole idea, the twist, is that it creates that sort of chaos.
Right.
It's so stupid. I know. And I'm like, well, if you don't want to air your dirty laundry, well, then that's obviously okay, but you're in the wrong place. Like, you're not here to go on vacation. Like, if you're not here to say why you cheated on your girlfriend, well, then just don't be here. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the point of the show. Just go to Cancun on vacation and cheat again and tell no one. That's what you do.
Well, I do want to kind of dive in now into some of the, you know, stuff from this season. We saw how you and Corey, when we last saw you two together in, you know, Spies, Lies, and Allies, we saw you guys kind of have like a bit of a roller coaster dynamic where you went at each other, found common ground by the end of it. And then coming into this, you two were, you know, firmly in each other's, you know, camps as far as like being on each other's side. Could you kind of talk to me a little bit about how your friendship with him has evolved?
Yeah. So I always wanted to support Corey, and a lot of people will say, well, why does it matter that you're both gay? It matters for the reasons we spoke about at the top of this podcast, and for young guys and stuff watching it, and the stereotypes of gay guys are soft and all of this, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to really support him in the show for that. Also, I really got along with Corey my first season, even though he wasn't there for a long time. Like, there was some things about him that irritated me or I don't relate to, and it's still the same now. But from the perspective of, like, big reality TV fans, both of us, similar interests, both being gay, only gay guys in the house, understanding, like, what it's like, we could have conversations about, like, I don't know, certain things that maybe feeling awkward around the guys if the guys were changing in front of us. Sometimes maybe feeling insecure, well, the guys think we're looking at them or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though the guys would probably never do that, that's just your own, like, kids' locker room experience that you still carry into being a man. So, like, them little things you can so relate to it, and it's nice having that around. And then, obviously, we've seen that him and Michelle called me in, which obviously pissed me off and annoyed me. I won. We had a big, huge argument. Then that ended. In the real world, I reached out, I think, to Michelle. Was it her messenger or tweet? And then she inboxed me. I can't remember. And then with Corey, he got in touch with me. And we had a conversation. And he was like, listen, I got really upset in my interviews for making that decision. I was stupid. I was wrong. And like, we should have supported each other. We just felt, you remember the whole veteran alliance where the rookies kept getting voted in?
Yeah.
It put the fear of God in these newbies. Now, I personally didn't feel like that scared about it, because I was messy as hell my first season, but I can understand maybe the people who were in the rookie pairs right at the beginning and stuff, why they felt that way. I understand. But look, to me, it was still silly. We should have stuck together. But the problem is, as well, is that even if there hadn't have been rookies getting sent in that first season, I might have still voted with a lot of the vets, because Ashley and Amanda and all of them, I became really close with, and Kyle, and I still feel that way now. I still talk to them now. They've really supported me this new season and stuff. So I might have still been voting that way, just coincidentally. But me, Corey, we came a long way. We turned things around. We decided coming into this season that we should support each other. We debuted together on the show. We only each had done the same season, just one season. And let's stand together. You know, we knew a lot of the ride or dies were already, like, aligning themselves even before the season began and stuff. So I was like, to the internationals and the 37 people and the UK guys, we should do the same. But obviously, as we've seen, that didn't happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, we're so used to, like, I remember, like, in the original days of, like, this show, we were so used, there was very few, you know, gay representation. And when there was gay representation, they were usually, like, the first few, like, picked off. And like, this is kind of just how, like, society maybe in general has been slowly taking strides to, like, improve the way we sort of look at people that are gay.
Yeah. When did, who was the first gay guy? I don't know if you've watched every season. Oh, I think I might have actually read about it in the past. I think it was, how many seasons ago would you say the first gay came on the show?
Well, they had, The real world first was where they were pulling people from. So they had the first, I believe, gay man was on season 3 of the real world, and his name was Pedro. But I'm trying to think of
am I correct in saying, was there a gay guy on early real world? Did he have HIV? I think
that's who I'm talking about. His name was Pedro. Mm-hmm.
Did he pass away?
He did, yes.
Did he come on the challenge?
He didn't get to do the challenge. But he was, the real world used to be an extension of what the challenge
was. Yeah, it was wasn't, so they had the real world, and then they done a spin-off which brought the real world on the road, which was Road Rules or something. And then they put the two of them together where they done the challenges of Road Rules but living in the same location.
Right.
Which is what, and didn't it used to be called the challenge, real world, road, Road Rules.
It was Real World Road Rules, the challenge.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, because I've read about it. Because, you know, like, I first heard of the challenge in 2000. Well, I would have seen it on the Twitters of UK reality stars I followed when they were promoting. So Kyle, Rogan, Joss, Melissa, all these people. Then the first conversation I ever had about it was, do you remember Zahida?
Mm-hmm.
Zahida was friends with my ex-boyfriend, and we were all in Turkey together, all having the turkey teeth done. And she had just come off her last season. I can't remember which one. Yeah, but she had to leave early because I think her grandpa passed away or something, so she left episode one or two. And she was just telling me about it, and I was like, oh, that sounds cool or whatever. And she was like, oh, I think you'd be really good at it. And I was like, oh, I don't know, whatever. And then, obviously, I got reached out to, when did I do the challenge? 2021, so like a year later or something.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I ever spoke to anyone about the challenge, so I didn't grow up watching it or anything.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I'd imagine you had your hands full at that point doing all the other shows.
To be very fair, I had a period of not really doing TV, and I didn't think I would do it again because I didn't have a great experience when I'd done Dancing with the Stars. I didn't actually really enjoy doing that at all.
Are you a star on that, by the way? Don't mean to
cut. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a pro dancer. I didn't have a good, great experience. I had a lot going on in my personal life, and I just wish actually I could have had the chance to do something like that now because it's still running here in Ireland and stuff. But I kind of had a period of doing bits of appearances. I used to do little bits of presenting for MTV Online and stuff. Mm. But it was more after I moved home to Ireland in 2020 that I got back into TV. I'd done this dating show called First Dates. I'd done that twice. I'd done a different kind of like political-based show. Then I'd done The Challenge. Then I'd done a couple other TV shows after that. So it was really only at the time The Challenge came back into my life that I was getting back into doing TV a lot.
Okay. Wow. I'm curious though, like, you know, since we spoke about, obviously, you know, you working with Corey, you've also got, you know, connections with some of the other people in the house as well. Where did you feel like you stood as far as like alliances go? Because I know you and Corey obviously were looking out for each other, but you also had like seemingly relationships with like Melissa and Big T as well.
Berna.
Berna as well. Did you feel like you were connected, or did you feel like?
Well, I definitely was connected in the house, but that's not always a positive thing because look at Big T. Big T, most seasons, so definitely has the most opportunity to have had the most experience with people. And she went in the first elimination, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the format is always what can really change things when you can just choose someone to come down and all of that. Mm-hmm. That makes it easier for people to pick people off than people being able to slide through and whatever. I definitely felt connected, but that's not always a positive because when you're friends with a lot of people on an equal measure, it's easy for others who maybe don't feel as connected. When I think about it, people like me and Big T being very, very social in the house might have been a little bit of a threat to some people also because they might have thought to themselves, like, they don't want somebody with that many friends in the house, do you know what I mean, either. Yeah. So I definitely felt connected, but I knew there was the American alliance and I knew the Americans would stick together a lot quicker than the UK people would. And I'll tell you why. I have a theory, and I want to see if this makes sense to you. And it's because I'm such a big reality television fan and how I think about it, I think this how this makes sense to me is Americans' reality shows, especially the CBS ones, are all political-based within the show. They're all about, like, you choose the winner of Big Brother and the survivor, like, cast, you choose, the cast chooses. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Whereas the UK Big Brother and Survivor and all these other shows, Survivor's actually just started in the UK. So I'm not sure how that goes, but like all of our reality shows are competitions over here in Ireland and the UK and a lot throughout Europe. it's a public vote to win, so they're more reality TV based than they are game based. So you have us going into this type of show without really that experience that the Americans have, even just as a viewer growing up watching Big Brother and The Challenge and all of that. They know what it's about before they even go there, and they've played it or experienced it. So it's harder, I think, for the UK people to adjust, and they're a lot easier swayed. I like you have people like Jay and Michelle, and I think they could sway the Pope away from a Bible. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you and Narice is, she is very socially, like, politically, great in that house. I mean, she was very good. Like, Narice, like, obviously, no disrespect. She's gorgeous, and she is a good player, and she's done very well both her seasons without revealing too much of how things go this season. But Narice isn't the strongest competitor. Do you know what I mean?
Like, physically, you mean? You mean, like,
she... Yeah, and even, like, within the challenges, not just physically, even, like, I didn't see her do anything even mentally or strategic-wise that was extraordinarily impressive. Do you understand what I mean? But she would never be called down into elimination, or she would never get the house vote either season she's done. And even the vets coming in, I feel like a lot of them would be very for Narice, and she's friends with a lot of people. She's social in the real world also. Do you know what I mean? Which is clever and great, and she's a wonderful girl, so that's not me being shady. I think she's brilliant. But I just look at stuff like that, and that's where there's a difference. But no matter how much you explain this to these people, like, even like in the real world, Big T is very good, but Big T, James, all these people, even since this season, they're like, oh, we should have stuck together more. We will on a future season if we come back. But I just know one day in that bubble again, a lot of these people, like, they're not as openly spoken in front of people or on camera as what they are, like, away from that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's why I get a bit, like, taken aback when I know people in the real world, and then you're in here and they're so different. I'm like...
Like, do people say, like, they talk a big game off the show, and then once they get there, they sort of, like...
It's yes and it's no, because it's almost like they're talking a big game in the show as well, in the sense that they're thinking about that consistently with everything that you do. Or they're, like, making all these deals and promises with these random people they're not even friends with. That they should be aware these people will literally pick you off when all your friends are gone home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like that big veteran alliance. Amber and Big T always was going to fall to the end of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why Amber and Big T didn't try and make a rookie alliance or do something like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the time those rookies are all gone, they're going to start choosing vets that have done the least seasons. You know what I mean? And this is what the UK people this season didn't think about. Is like, I really got along with Mariah and I got along with Olivia. But if I was asked by TJ, send in Big T or Olivia, well, I'm going to send in Olivia because I know Big T would have my back before Olivia ever would. Mm-hmm. And if Olivia had to choose between me, Narice, Horacio, or Kyland, she's always going to choose me to go in. As much as we like one another, she was sticking to her alliance and her guns. But the UK people weren't really doing that. And I know, like, the people who I'm friends with, like, I know Berna and Michelle said my name. But I did tell them to if the train was already going that way, and it was. I had, like, had 15 votes or something. And Melissa and James and Big T didn't say my name. I'm aware of that. But also, they didn't vote with me either. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I should have been able to have Berna, Big T, Melissa, James, Callum, Kieran, all of them in a room. Emmanuel even, like, Corey Lay in a room. To come up with a way to keep me out of there. There were many of my people who I was looking out for and helping, and I voted Chauncey because all the girls and everyone else was, even though he could have caught me down and the other guys burned. I voted, you know, Jessica because all the girls that I was friends with wanted. I voted Raven. I actually was very bitchy about Raven. A lot wasn't shown on camera. I was really listening in that house, and I was going and back and reporting to people. So it should have been able to happen the other way around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things I want to follow up on. But since you just brought up the Raven thing, I thought it was really, really funny, since we talk about dialogue. the scene of you in the club talking to Olivia when you say, yeah. I can't trust her as far as I can throw her, which isn't very far because I don't got any muscles. Like, we need more of that stuff. Like, the fact that, like, you know, you thought of that, like, without needing to, like, there's almost
write it down and remember.
Yeah, like, it just came to second nature to you. I gotta ask, though, about the you know, the Raven stuff that we didn't see.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you elaborate further on that?
Right, yeah. Do you know what? To be very fair, I will give production a little applause. The edit was quite a fair representation. Now, not every other episode has been exactly a fair representation of situations, i.e. the Melissa and Berna fight. It went on for like an hour, and he didn't show very much of it, and I wish they did. But Raven, yeah, Raven was really playing both sides. I will say, though, I don't blame her,
yeah.
Because on one hand, she was silly, because I do think she may not be able to trust the American Alliance in the long run, but, you know, the second elimination, third elimination, she was fine. They were rocking with her. Say the names. She could have been cleverer and maybe waited till a little more down the line and got close to others in the house, but didn't really tell them any game that can come back on you. And then when she already was close with some of the guys and whatever else, showing them her boobs and whatever so that they like her, I don't know, start the manipulation in every way. She then could have maybe switched sides when the Americans were already doing that and it was the less numbers. So this is the part where I think she was really stupid, and I don't blame the American people for all voting her in then, because she was literally going to the other side and telling them like what her supposed alliance's plans were, who were also trying to help her. So I don't think he ever would have said her name if she hadn't have done that with a chance, the elimination. She had no business doing that. If it had been a little bit later on, as I said, I wouldn't have blamed her at all, because I think the other Americans were closer together than they were with her. But she was going from person to person. Like, even with me, I had an argument with her the night of her elimination before she went down. And I don't know why they didn't show this on TV, because it was quite, like, it was an argument, popular argument. There was a lot of people watching. And I was saying, no, but you are fake. You do that. You've even tried to strategize with me, and like you were before she even went down to the Chauncey elimination, I feel like she was trying to talk game at me. And if I had turned around and said, look, I will vote with you, Raven, she wouldn't have went in and said my name. So she's so easy to just switch, do you know what I mean? Because she obviously didn't know where to place herself at that stage. But I don't know, I always found kind of things strange with Raven. I liked her, but I never trusted her at all. Do you know what I mean? I really didn't. I really didn't trust her. And by then, I was really trying to save Melissa, Big T, and Berna. Because Big T, yet again, was a scapegoat. Hasn't been shown on TV, but her name had come up again several times. And Berna and Melissa, because of their fight. So I was like thinking, shit, I need to listen around this house, and I need to start talking about people. So I really was happy to go around and tell everyone what Raven was doing.
I wish they showed this. I think everybody...
I know. I filmed every single conversation. I've deliberately done it. In the club, I spoke to Nerisse on her own at the bar. I actually had asked the camera guys, like, oh, can I speak to Nerisse? I want to mention something to her. I spoke to Olivia, as we've seen. I spoke to Emmanuel and Berna. There was a lot of conversation. I was busy that night. And then in the house, at deliberation, I was the first person to speak. They didn't even show that. And I basically spoke and said everything she had done. The reason why I done it was, if one of the girls had done it, who I'm close with, that might be her excuse to call them in. So I was like, you guys just stay quiet. Tell me everything you know, and I'll say it all. But he didn't show this on TV. I don't know why.
Oh, man, you're making their job easy for them, and they're not even using the footage.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was very much like that in the house, you know. I would, like, that conversation I had with Olivia, I had spoken to producers, and I had asked one of the camera guys, like, oh, whenever you guys are free, can I want to have a chat with Olivia. And then I went and got her, and she didn't even realize that I'd set that up, do you know what I mean? Okay. Yeah, not the one in the club, it was the one where we spoke at the pool about our backgrounds, in, I think, the second episode. Because I loved, like, her story about Alaska or whatever, and I was speaking about coming from like the traveler gypsy background, in my interviews with producers, and I was like, I should get some footage in the house talking about this, because I feel like these types of conversations make TV shows good and interesting because of substance.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like it was the UK people that were instrumental in your elimination? Because I remember watching the deliberation when you guys were all kind of out in the backyard, sort of trying to right moments before the narcissistic circle took place.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah. I will never know the truth because it's not been put on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why James said my name.
Exactly what I was just about to bring up, not to cut you off, but it was the James thing in particular that really confused.
That set a light.
Yeah, because
that set a light that day. That's what set a light. I know people had been already thinking about me or talking about me, but to me, that set a light. Do you know what I mean? I think it's the second a person's name is mentioned, it's enough for people to then jump on the bandwagon and just say that person's name. It is confusing. I'm sorry if I've cut you off from what you're saying, but it is confusing why he would do that, because I would never have even put attention on him ever. But I don't know if what he was saying was genuine truth, that he just heard my name around the house, or if maybe some of the UK guys had planned, thinking, we'll bring Huey up, the house will go with it, and it will save us from getting sent in by the American guys that was more... like there was more people in that alliance than there was the UK side.
That seemed kind of a little bit like made up. It's sort of like a decoy for to save the rest of them, because if like they bring your name up, then it makes it look like, oh well, people are thinking about Huey going in anyway. That's easy. I think that him bringing you up was more so just like the UK people almost making that up to try to put attention on you. That's kind of
maybe for sure. That makes perfect sense. But obviously I'll never know if that's exactly what happened. Like I'll never know that, you know what I mean? The only way maybe I could know is if that is actually true and there's still all those little cameras in the house, even if they said, they probably would have went to the bathroom and spoken out without a microphone on them, who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it works. It works. You have people like Colleen in the house who will just say what everybody else is saying. Asaf, Melissa was doing this. Like, a lot of these people were just saying what everybody else is saying. So therefore, it's easy. Do you know what I mean? You get four or five people saying something, then everyone else is going to.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'll never know what the truth is. And look, and I don't hold it personal against them. It was just a stupid thing to do, because I know how things go now soon with who goes in and who doesn't go in. And, you know, I'd have been an ally for all of them people. Do you know what I mean? It was Callum and it was James who'd asked me not to say any of the UK guys' names. And like, they will, like, we should stand together and stuff. And like, James repeatedly kept saying to me not to say any of the UK guys' names. Even right before we walked into that elimination. Wow. Like, I don't understand what that was about. And Zara was saying, to me, like, oh, has James gone and found you earlier on in the house? Because I came upstairs, I was like, guys, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, what's going on in this house? You know what I mean? And like Emmanuel saying my name was ridiculous, because to me, we were working together. We had many conversations in the house about people going in, like me going in and like stuff like that. And like, I never thought that Callum or Emmanuel or any of them would say my name. But look, they did.
Yeah, does that at all, like, you know, people kind of going and like betraying you in some way? Does that feel like, does that to you kind of deter you from wanting to do another challenge in the future?
No, it doesn't deter me from not wanting to do the show, but it definitely would deter me from ever voting with them or working with them ever again, like 100%. And if I do go to reunion and there is one, I will 100% say this, like that will be getting said. Like I would never, ever work with Emmanuel or any of those guys ever again in the house. To be honest, even all of, like, all, apart from Big T, all the UK people, because I know I can trust Big T. Big T wouldn't have known anything that day, because nobody would ever speak about me in front of Big T ever. The only people I think I can trust, and it's not even just because I'm very close with Corey Lay, is because I know neither of us will ever go against her promise. I fully believe that, wholeheartedly believe that. The only two people I can really trust for this season is Big T and Corey. And Berna. I do think I can trust Michelle, but at the same time, Michelle kind of plays the game with absolutely everyone in the house. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't think she would stick her neck on the line for me at all. Do you know what I mean? Right. But I don't think she would. I don't think she would be going against me or whatever either. But I just feel like she wouldn't stick her neck on the line for me in a way that I probably would have for her. But no, I would never deter me from going on the challenge. I really don't care about other people that much. Like, fuck you. Do you know what I mean? And if I do come back on another season, I hope those two seasons I've done, that other challengers can see that I am a loyal person. And whether or not you think I'm the strongest enough to have on your team, I'm somebody that will never go against you, and you can really trust me. And that is a very, very necessary thing in this game. And I don't play a scared game. Do you know what I mean? Like, I will, like, say how I feel and stuff. Like, to me, that's an important asset on a team. Of course it is. And it's a wild card. You, like, I personally think that you never know what can happen in an elimination. And I back myself to be able to beat a lot of people in a lot of types of styles of eliminations. It just depends on the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to ask, too, because I saw, one of your recent interviews was sort of bringing this to light about apparently that Zara said that you didn't belong on the show. Is that
yeah?
What was that all about? And what are your thoughts on that?
I actually thought that was quite vile and disgusting. And the reason why is because how I view it is that's basically taking away an opportunity from someone that I wouldn't do to anyone else. Like, as we spoke about, I view reality television in a certain way, and I genuinely do not mean this in a shady way. And do you know what? I really don't give. I'm sick of explaining myself. I don't care if it comes off shady. To me, Zara should not be on reality TV at all. If she's going to say that I shouldn't be on a competition show because I'm not the person that hangs out in the gym every day of the week, well, then I'm going to say you are not someone that should be on TV because you have nothing remotely interesting about you. You are just someone that sits on the treadmill 24/7, and that's all that you do, which is brilliant. And I respect you and your personality. So why can't that be mutual? We both belong. For every Casey, you need an Arnie on the show. Do you know what I mean? Like, both is necessary. And, you know, in the past, you have Ashley and CT and Johnny and these people, and there are both of them. Like, Tori is both of them people, which is incredible. This is why the stars. But when I'm not someone that, you know, gets up in the morning and dreams about running 15 kilometers on the beach, but I am someone that will answer any question, will say my piece, isn't scared of anyone, is a wild card, and does make a game kind of interesting when you have a bit of a joker and a wild card there that you don't know exactly how it's going to go. I think both kinds of people belong on a show like The Challenge, but reality TV in general, Zara should not be on it alongside a lot of this cast, hence why you kind of see the same 5-6 people every episode.
Yeah, I think that, again, like, you know, obviously not like involved, but it's just the third person perspective here. I think that to say that somebody doesn't belong on the show because, you know, they're not totally, you know, athletics is not like their first and only thing that they, yeah, you know, strive for. Like, that's just kind of, I don't really agree with that because, like you said, the way the show was built in the first place was not off of athletics. It was off of personality and stories and people's upbringings. Like, give me a freaking break. Like,
I know. And this is what the new cast has forgotten. And if I'm honest, I know TV has changed and this is why viewership is different and all of that. But to me personally, that's greatly what The Challenge is missing, is more people that are willing to come and turn up. And it's got to the stage now where it's become a bit of a fashion to come on The Challenge and hide your personality because of this voting system. It's not like TJ is saying to the house, vote in the person who makes a mistake, vote in the person who has an argument. the house started that like three seasons ago, and it's now just continued with this plane. Like, I know there would have been a lot of people for years being snaky, playing under the radar or that, but it's become like beyond that now. Do you know what I mean? There were so many people in that house that were funny people and interesting, but they never would show this. They would go into deliberation and not speak. They would have to be told by production to speak. That we need to get words from everyone, and they would say like the most mundane things, like, oh, you know what, I love everyone, at the minute I just feel confused or whatever, when really obviously they will have an opinion, do you know what I mean, but they just don't express that. But Zara definitely said that, because Big T was there when she said it, and I had just left the conversation, which to me makes it even more bitchy. I had just left the sunbeds that was outside to go actually speak to production, because I wasn't well, hence also why I wasn't working out loads in the house, because I went through a few days of not being able to speak in the house, which I'm sure you imagine was like I'd lost my legs and my arms. I damaged like my throat by screaming for Big T and her elimination. And then I got the flu from Berna and Colleen.
Jesus.
And I could barely talk, so I was on a drinking ban, all of these things in the house. And I had to rearrange an interview. The interviews where we sit down and speak about the show, like on like in certain moments or whatever. We have to film them in like 2-3 hour blocks. And I could not sit there and speak for 2 or 3 hours. Do you know what I mean? So I had to rearrange this interview, which is why I got up from speaking to Zara and James and Kieran and Big T. And I was really nice to Zara. We were speaking about her life. We were being filmed. It hasn't been shown. And I just left. And Zara automatically started talking about me and turned around and said that I don't deserve to be on the challenge, because I'm not really a sports person. And there's others who should be here instead. And it's so unfair. That is so, so bitchy. And I think disgusting. Especially as somebody who's just been sitting there with you. And I used to make so much effort with Zara, because I know of her boyfriend, because his brother was a pro dancer on Dancing with the Stars. It's the guy Curtis Pritchard, who's just been on the Love Island Games show. He's a pro dancer, well, used to be. And his brother is Zara's boyfriend. So I knew them and their dad and whatever. So I always made a big effort with Zara and got along with her and tried to have fun. So for her to say that, I just think it was really bitchy and mean.
Yeah, that doesn't really sit right. Well, I'm glad that you're able to, you know, be objective and call things out, as far as, like, you know, people just not really showing their full personalities on the show, because I think it's really easy for someone, because they're on the show, to just kind of, like, lay low and be like, oh, you know, like, just, like, paint by the numbers. Let me just, you know.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. And I don't like that. I love... Like, for example, I defend Josh Martinez a lot online. And I, like, Josh is a great guy. He's a lovely man with the nicest heart. And like, I know if I was to see Josh randomly by mistake in a nightclub, that I could walk over to him, feel completely comfortable, have a laugh, have a drink. I love Josh. I think he's a great guy. But a lot of people don't like Josh, fans, because he's very emotional and stuff. But I love that. I love that he shows his emotions. I love that he's passionate. I love he speaks his mind. And also, I do think there's an element of he wants to make a good show also. I think he knows what he's doing, definitely. But I love Josh. I think Josh is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I want more Joshes on the show if I come back. And for Hyben's, 10 producers scan the world and find several gay guys, so I have a chance of hooking up with someone.
No, like, for real, yeah. They definitely...
Can we have, like, 5 gays on the show? And, like, there might be a chance that, like, even if we're not exactly each other's type, like, we might be just horny one night or something.
Circumstance, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure not everyone who meets on these shows are exactly each other's type. I mean, I got a boyfriend on Big Brother, and he was not someone that I should have been with at all. But that... false environment forces you together, and then you kind of grow close to people that you wouldn't normally, with distractions in the real world.
Well, you know, this was a ton of fun, Huey. I'm glad I was able to meet you.
Thank you. Make
this happen. I loved, you know, every minute of this chat, and if it's up to me, we'll see you again, but I understand that you know, certain have to be very good for you, I feel like, in order to come
back. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, like, you think it's not just a case of I would just want to come back regardless. Like, I wouldn't say no to an opportunity because I would punch myself, because I'd be like, why do you care who's there? Just go and have fun and have a good time or get some money or whatever. But ideally, I would, like, if I'm honest, I would be kind of pissed if I thought, like, I was going back with this same cast again. I'd be like, fuck, I can't do this. But I would love if I came back that, like, Amanda was there and, like, some of those people. I love Amanda. And also, shout out to Amanda, because USA 2 was filmed right before the season, which Michelle was on, like, 2 weeks before we started filming. They had just ended, right? And they used the same house, same crew, same everything. And one of the security guys Amanda became friends with, and they got each other on WhatsApp or Instagram when she left. And she was sending me messages through him to, like, to make sure, like, that I'm good, I'm okay, I hope you're doing well and all of this. So, like, I really appreciate her for doing that. And I want everyone to know how lovely she is, because everyone thinks Amanda's like the devil, as she jokingly calls herself.
She would have fit, like, great for this. I actually wish, because she would have fit the format too, because she hasn't technically won before. There's so many cast members, I feel like, on...
I think they've done too many. I know Melissa debuted years ago, but this was only season 3. And I know Big T, this was her 5th. But I still think people forget that this is Big T's 5th. You still feel like she's very new because she's done 5 in like 2 years or something, 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think someone like Amanda, I think she's done 7, including USA 2. But I think people might feel like she's done like 10 or something, like Ashley or Nani, because she's been around a long time. So I think that might have... I don't think it would have fitted the idea that producers wanted their show to look like, which was like very new people. But if I'm honest, fuck that. I like Ride or Dies was meant to be Ride or Dies, and we all know they all want real Ride or Dies. So I think they should have brought in Amanda, Josh, Kyle, Corey Wharton, like all of these people, they obviously wanted to say yes. Michaela was asked, and Michelle told me the only two that was asked from USA 2 was Michaela and Michelle, and they asked them during filming. So maybe they just didn't ask Amanda or Josh or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like they wanted like a fresh coat of paint, I think, on this type of season. I think that they didn't really want like super veterans, like people that have been there a bunch of times. They wanted people, you know, that were either on their second or third seasons, more specifically.
Yeah.
But
Michelle, this was Michelle's 4th. And how many is Jay done? Is this his 3rd?
Jay, I think this was his 4th. Because he did Total Madness, Double Agents, and Spies Lot. Or no, he didn't do Spies. No, he did Ride or Die. Yeah.
Yes, so this is his 4th. Oh, I didn't know he'd done Double Agents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, I was surprised to learn that Jay has never made it past the halfway mark in the challenge.
Well, he came in at a time in which, you know, Bananas, West, CT were all still there, Rogan. So they had a lot of more veterans when he first came onto the show. So,
yeah, but I mean, he still didn't in Ride or Dies, did he? And we'll have to see this season. I can't tell you anything about it.
Yeah. Well, all right, Huey, thanks again for hopping on here. And hopefully in the future,
you'll maybe do. You look like Clark Kent.
Thank you, sir. I try.
You look like Superman. But thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to go get in the shower to get drunk. I'm going to go out with my sisters and my cousin and stuff.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend. Stay safe.
You too. Take care from America. Bye-bye.
I will. Thank